Let's read Luke chapter 11, and we're going to start at verse 9. And if you open up your Bibles, that's on page 1042. 1042, Luke chapter 11, and we're going to read from verses 9 to verse 13. Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Jesus says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God indeed. And what we're going to do is go back into that scale, and we're going to firstly think about if you're kind of 1 out of 10 prayer. Because a 1 out of 10 prayer sort of says, I don't pray because I don't expect an answer. And Jesus from Luke chapter 11 says, pray because God delights to answer. Pray because God delights to answer. Let's see how Jesus says that. We'll pick it up there in verse 9 where we started our reading. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened." Jesus says to a 1 out of 10 prayer, pray, ask, seek, knock. And what does that look like? Well, humanly speaking, it looks a little like an old vicar friend of mine, and he was traveling to see a friend in Paris. Although, he doesn't have a mobile phone, by the way, and he forgot the address on his kitchen table back in London, but it was on the Eurostar. He was heading to Paris, and he thought, oh no, what am I going to do? Fortunately, he knew the area of Paris that he lived in, so he asked a couple of people, do you know how I get to this area of Paris? They gave him the direction, so he got there. Fortunately for him, he remembered a little bit of the address of the road that his friend lived on. So he went searching for this road, and after quite a long time, he found the road. And then he had no idea what number on that road his friend lived at. So he started at one end, and he knocked on every single door until he found his friend's door answered, and he got in about 3 or 4 hours late. Now, this friend asked, sought, and knocked. It's a little flavor, a human flavor, only to find a friend. And that is absolutely nothing on what Jesus says here in the way that we want to talk to God our Father. He says, ask your Father, seek your Father, knock on your Father's door. Three very, very active words, three actions for us as believers to do. We're involved in this kind of endeavor in speaking to God our Father. And there's a kind of growing urgency with these three requests. It starts sort of asking a little bit more polite, and then it ends kind of passionate and pursuing God, pleading God to answer our prayers. And it's ongoing as well. It's not just once. It's ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking. Jesus says we are, as believers, to earnestly pursue God our Father with our requests. And the Westminster Shorter Catechism, it's a kind of 17th century question and answer on the Christian faith. And it gives this answer to what prayer is. It starts off like this. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God. An offering up of our desires unto God. Jesus says to all believers this morning, pray, ask, keep asking, seek, keep seeking, knock, keep knocking, keep bringing your desires to God. bringing your requests to your Father. And we're to do it expecting an answer from God. Why? Because God delights to answer his children's prayers. He really does. Let me read again verse 9 and 10. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. To the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Did you hear it? God does respond to our prayers. We receive, we find, and the door is opened. So we are active in our prayers, absolutely, but God is even more active in his response to our prayers. So we ask, and he loves to answer. We seek, and he loves to supply. We knock, and he loves to provide. There's a great little book on prayer called A Praying Life by Paul Miller, and he says this about prayer, which is really wonderful. All of Jesus' teaching on prayer in the Gospels could be summarized with one word: ask. His greatest concern is that our failure or reluctance to ask keeps us distant from God. That's not the only reason he tells us to ask anything. God wants to give us good gifts. He loves to give. And do we believe that? That God loves to give? If we belong to Jesus, we are his adopted children. He is our heavenly Father, a Father who is willing, who is ready, who is waiting to hear from you and waiting to hear from me. So let's pray expectantly. Let's ask, seek, knock, bring our desires to God, knowing that he does delight to answer our prayers. And a little later on in the Bible, James chapter 4, verse 2 sums this up so well for us. James writes, "You do not have because you do not ask God." So if you're more, like on the screen behind me, we go back a slide, more of a 1 out of 10 prayer, then to help maybe move you to kind of a 2 or a 3, why not try and spot, remember, maybe write down, name it, those times that God has answered a prayer of yours. Thank God for it when you see him answering your prayer. And I think that will help encourage us to keep praying more, to move away from being a 1 out of 10. And so to you, if you're sort of sitting here thinking, I'm more of that sort of 1 out of 10 prayer, I don't pray because I don't expect an answer, then just take a moment of quiet now. Just going to stop for a moment and maybe think of what that one prayer could be. And then why not pray it in the quiet of your heart? So let's just take a few moments of quiet, maybe think and pray that. We'll continue there. Because I want to mention what I think is a kind of big elephant in the room here in this passage, and it is this. What is this? Well, let me just rip one off. It is a blank check. Is this what is going on here? Is God saying he'll give us whatever we ask for? A kind of name it and claim it approach to our faith and to prayer? Absolutely not. God is not saying he's going to write us a blank check for whatever we ask. That is not what God is saying here, what Jesus is saying here about prayer. Because he's saying we as children, as adopted children, are speaking in prayer to our Heavenly Father within a relationship of love with God, and we as his creatures and as his children are submitting ourselves to our Father's will when we speak to him. So it raises the question, what about unanswered prayer? What do we do with that? Well, I want to say that if you're a Christian, there is no such thing as an unanswered prayer. We pray, and God gives us what we asked for, or he gives us what we should have asked for, or what we would have asked for if we knew everything that God knew. But we don't. He might not answer in the way we want him to, or with the timing that we want him to, but God still answers our prayers. It's like a tapestry. You know, kind of beautiful tapestry on one side as you look at it, and then as you flip it over, there are kind of 1,000 threads all hanging out behind. And in God's kind of masterful tapestry, maybe we see a few of those threads that he's weaved together of our lives. Maybe we see those threads kind of immediately. Maybe it's only in years to come we see those threads. Maybe only in eternity we see those threads. And we know God will answer us when we call to him, because one terrible day, God did not answer Jesus when he called to him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." It was about his death on the cross. You see, none of us, no one deserves our prayers to be heard or answered by God apart from Jesus. But it was Jesus that got the great silence from his Father, exactly what we deserve. So by trusting in Jesus, we can know that God is our Father and God does hear and answer our prayers, all because of what happened on the cross. So to that 1 out of 10 prayer, Jesus says, pray because God delights to answer. But we might be on the other end of the scale, a kind of 10 out of 10 prayer, saying, I expect immediate answers to God, from God for everything. And to you, Jesus says, pray expectantly with God's priorities. Pray expectantly with God's priorities. Jesus says to us, look at what God prioritizes and then pray the same priorities. And wonderfully, Jesus doesn't kind of leave us to figure it out in the dark. He shows us what they are. Verse 11, which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? So you can picture the kind of similar scene today. We've left church, you're back home, and a little boy asks his dad for some lunch. He says, can I just have kind of some bit of lunch, some bread, some cheese? Now, the father isn't going to go and give him something harmful, like, here's a wasp's nest, or here's a tarantula, hold that, eat that. Not at all. We know that a human father will give him good things, the things that he needs. Now, of course, human fathers are capable of great cruelty, neglect, and abuse. But Jesus' point here isn't to talk about that, but it's right that we do have space to talk about that. We spoke about it a few weeks ago. But his point here is verse 13. So let's read on verse 13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Jesus is saying, that if a human father, though sinful, though evil, generally gives good gifts to his children when they ask, then of course God our Father will give his children, us, that's Christians, good gifts as well, the things that we need. But do we believe that? You know the phrase, oh, there's no harm in asking. Well, Jesus totally revolutionizes that phrase, doesn't he? There's absolutely no harm in asking. In fact, there's only good when we do ask him. And many churches in Uganda start their services by saying this, God is good all the time God is good, and that is his nature, wow. And God is good. and he only gives good gifts to his children. But God is also wise, and he knows which gifts are good and which gifts are not good. But beyond doubt, God's priority is to give us his greatest gift, which is in verse 13 at the very end, the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. You're wondering why? Why does he mention the Holy Spirit here as this greatest gift? Well, on the screen behind me, there's a quote from a 17th century bishop called J.C. Ryle. It might be a little small, but I'll read it out. It's absolutely incredible. Having this gift, talking about the Holy Spirit, we have all things, life, light, hope, and heaven. Having this gift, we have grace and peace in the world now, glory and honor in the world to come. Having this gift, we have God the Father's boundless love, God the Son's atoning blood, and the full communion with all three persons of the Blessed Trinity. Isn't that incredible? God's greatest gift to us is himself. And that is God's priority for us. So do we personally know God's gift of himself to you? If you don't know it, if you don't know him, please make it your greatest aim to seek, to ask, to knock, that you might personally know God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if you do know God personally, you have the Holy Spirit living inside you. The Holy Spirit working in your heart now. And that is God's priority too. He is transforming you now so you look more like Jesus. He is changing you so his priorities become more your priorities. He's molding you to love what he loves and hate what he hates. He's developing you to display more and more of the fruits of the Spirit. He's maturing you in your faith. The Holy Spirit is growing you spiritually. See, our spiritual welfare is God's priority for us. And so if we pray those things, we are praying God's priorities, and we can be expectant of an answer. And there, this kind of God's priorities, they were at the center of the Lord's Prayer. So we're praying that for ourselves, lead us away from temptation, God's priorities in our own lives. And they're the sorts of prayers that we want at the heart of our church life together too, don't we? God delights to answer our prayers for spiritual growth. So to the 10 out of 10 prayer, I expect immediate answers to everything. Jesus says to us, pray expectantly, but with God's priorities, your spiritual growth. Which means we're not to be expectant when praying for kind of merely our material physical wants. If we're kind of 10 out of 10 for those sorts of prayers, then maybe it's a step towards 9 or 8. But don't we find that really hard? Not to pray just for those things. It's much easier to pray for our physical, material, economic, social needs. They get all our airtime with the Lord often. It's much harder to pray for our spiritual needs. They hardly get any airtime with the Lord. But they're the very prayers that we can be more expectant that God will answer. But before we kind of divide the physical and the spiritual too much, we are human beings who are kind of, we have one union, body and soul together. We are one beings, body and soul. So there's always a spiritual dimension, whatever physical situation that we're in. We are always worshiping whatever kind of we're facing in life. So the better question is, how can I pray for my spiritual growth in the midst of my physical need? So as we close, let me tell us a little story. Something that happened to me last Sunday. I was barefoot, taking my shoes off, it was hot, barefoot in a friend's garden, and I stood on a bee, and boy, did it hurt. It stung me, and it really, really hurt. But in the moments that followed, what could I have prayed for? Now, there's clearly the physical prayer, that God would take the pain away. Ouch, this hurts, Lord. Please stop it right now. That's the prayer I could have prayed. But then there's also the prayer for my spiritual growth in that moment and in the moments afterwards too. So in that moment, what is my relationship with the Lord? How am I feeling towards God? Angry? Why did you let this happen to me, God? Annoyed? Why did you let me step on there? And why today when I've got so much on? So instead, a kind of a spiritual prayer, if you like, one for spiritual growth could have been, I know you're good and wise, God, and I want to trust you about what's just happened to me. Help me depend on you now, in the pain, in my weakness. I can't really remember if I prayed for either of those prayers in the moment, by the way. But that prayer for our spiritual growth is a prayer we can have more confidence of it being answered with that bee sting than just the physical prayer. So for us, in our physical need, whatever that need is in your mind right now, what prayer for spiritual growth could you pray? And so for us, if you're kind of more at that sort of 10 out of 10 end, what is one expectant prayer you could pray for your spiritual growth? And we're going to have a few moments again just to think what that prayer could be for spiritual growth, and then pray that for a few moments. So to finish, when you pray, what do you expect? Wherever on that scale we are, Jesus says, pray, ask, seek, knock, and pray expectantly with God's priorities for your spiritual growth. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for sending your Son and for him teaching us here this morning. Father, thank you that we can speak to you as children speaking to our Father. And Lord, we pray if we need that you would help us speak to you more and more. And Lord, we pray too that you would help us be those that have your priorities in our own prayers. Lord, we pray that you would help us be those that care and pray more and more about our spiritual need, our spiritual growth, to be more like Jesus. And Lord, in the sort of physical pains and needs that we are experiencing now and go through in life, Lord, please grow us to be those that pray for you to be at work in our hearts and lives, not just in our pain. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.